Blog Talk Radio.
My weakness can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the WeHands Radio Show. I am Sarah, the founder of WeHands and the author of the Baby Signing Book. Thank you for tuning in. WeHands is all about connecting you with your baby, and I love that we'll be able to use this show, our wee little podcast, to connect with more and more parents who are interested in using sign language to connect with their babies, toddlers, and even preschool children. WeHands is all about connecting parents with each other and helping them to build their community. I also have had great opportunities, fantastic opportunities, to meet other amazing individuals who are supporting and connecting parents, old and new experts. And today I have the opportunity to chat with one of those individuals. Jennifer Bernard is a pediatric occupational therapist. She's been working for over 15 years, and as someone who's done speech therapy for years, I just have the greatest respect for occupational therapists. The work they do is amazing. For 8 of the years that Jennifer's been working, she's been involved in treating infants, babies with, I had to look up this word to make sure that I was pronouncing it correctly, plagiocephaly. Jennifer will correct me. And that is misshapen heads and torticollis, which is tight necks. So today, Jennifer and I are going to talk about beautiful baby heads and what we can do to help them along the way and some of the difficulties they may have. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. It's a little, you're down in Plano, Texas, and I believe
yes.
It's probably a little bit warmer there than it is here.
Yes, it's pretty warm with lots of allergies going around, so spring has sprung down here.
The grass
sure.
is always greener. The grass is always greener, no matter where you are. So tell us, let's go back a little bit, though, because I definitely want to get into talking about how you're supporting families and babies, but let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what you were like as a child.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Colorado, and I was an only child, so I did a lot of playing outside, and we would go to the mountains every weekend, and, you know, the good old days where you could just stay outside all day and play and don't have to worry about anything. So I was always saving animals and, you know, trying to help people and mowing yards and, you know, just kind of enjoying life. I was probably a little bit bossy. But that might be that only child in me, but it was a great childhood in Colorado, and I wish that I was back there for sure. I miss it a lot.
Oh, that's wonderful. Months ago, I spoke with the founder, her first name is Rebecca, and the founder of Just Trails in Colorado, and she talked all about getting outside and playing. It's
yeah.
a different world, but maybe there's definitely a Colorado connection there.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Now doing what you do, I think I've been working, I'm trained as a communicative disorder assistant, so I've been working for 20 years doing speech therapy and other related things, obviously, but my first introduction to an occupational therapist was when I was consulting with group homes, and mm-hmm. the occupational therapist then, or the OT at that time, was doing things regarding the home. So the real
right.
bathrooms, wheelchairs, and maneuvering wheelchairs around bathrooms and kitchens and halls. And then I met some OTs, fabulous occupational therapists, who were doing sensory integration, definitely working with a lot of kids with autism. And
mm-hmm.
and I've been working with babies for 12, 14 years. And what you're doing, you're still an occupational therapist, but it's such a different type of thing.
Yeah.
Now, how does the general public, if you're introducing yourself to someone just socially, how do you describe what you do?
Well, I think OT and PT, physical therapy, they really do overlap quite a bit especially in the infant population. But what I typically, it's a little bit longer of an explanation because it is so specific. But in general, what I tell people is our company, Baby Begin, provides therapy for babies in their homes. And our primary goal is to treat plagiocephaly or flathead syndrome the more natural way, and we're trying to avoid the need for the plastic helmets. So our mission, our ultimate mission, is to eradicate plagiocephaly completely because it has been around a long time and it is a preventable condition. So that would be our main goal in life, but it's pretty big. So basically, we just provide therapy to the babies in their home, which has been so much more effective.
I completely understand the in-home therapy.
Yeah.
In terms of plagiocephaly, how does it occur?
We've seen a huge increase in plagiocephaly or skull deformities through the Back to Sleep campaign. So in 1992, the American Academy of Pediatrics changed their guidelines for sleeping for babies, and now we are recommended to sleep our babies on their backs. And that has made a huge difference in the SIDS diagnosis, and so we've saved a lot of babies, almost 40% decrease in SIDS since the Back to Sleep campaign. So, you know, that's here to stay, but what we need to realize is because these babies are on their back sleeping, there's a pressure on the back of their head for, you know, if you're lucky, 16, 17 hours a day. And so we really have to be cognizant of the head shape because those skulls are so malleable that they do deform pretty quickly.
And so what are some of the consequences if we don't treat plagiocephaly? I'm going to keep saying it until I get it right.
You're doing beautifully.
Thank you.
You know, there's varying consequences. First of all, you do have to worry about, because there is asymmetry in the front and the back, you know, you'll often see misalignment of the ears. One eye is more forward than the other. The jawline, so I'm sure you could appreciate asymmetry in the mouth and the effects that that can have in the long run. And so, and then you're also looking at the cosmetic point of it. It's not that we want these perfectly beautiful, perfect babies. We just want these kids to be within a norm. And so when you have a significant deformity, it can have some social, you know, psychosocial effects later on. There's varying opinions on learning disabilities and brain development. And so there's not any true research right now that tells us if these are kids are affected in the long run, but for motor skills and just a cosmetic appearance, those are kind of the main issues that we're looking at long term if you did nothing about it.
That's fascinating. I think there's so much more research and do a lot of people know about this?
You know, you don't know about it until you've been through it. And then when you've been through it, now you see babies with flatheads and you see babies with helmets and, you know, it becomes very real. And just like if you buy a certain kind of car, and then now everybody has that car. So I think people who are in the just had babies or have friends who have had babies, they're probably pretty well aware of it. My disappointment is that expectant parents aren't aware of it. And so that's what we're trying to change. We're trying to educate new and expectant parents on red flags, risk factors, and things like that so they know what to look for and they know where to get help sooner rather than later.
And so what are some of those red flags?
So red flags would be if your baby always wanted to look in the same direction. So no matter where you, how you held her, how you put her in the crib, how you fed her, she's always looking in one direction. So that would be a huge red flag because when she's laying down, there's going to be pressure on that side of her head for many, many hours a day. So that's a red flag. A second red flag or a risk factor is container usage. So if the baby is sleeping in something rather than on a flat surface, that can really increase your risk of plagiocephaly. So just little things like that, that if you're aware of it, and if another thing would be checking your baby's head from the very beginning, you know, looking at it from the top. Okay, here is how it starts out. Look at it in a month and see if you're seeing any flattening. And if you are, what can we do to correct that before it's too late?
I'm just frantically typing here as you're saying this. I think this is great information. And I'm looking, I mean, my kids are 12 and 14 years old now, but looking back, I don't believe I had any education in any prenatal form or postnatal education and awareness to check for this.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And, you know, a lot of pediatricians, you know, it varies where you are in the country, but a lot of pediatricians are becoming more aware of this and actually checking the heads at that two-month appointment. But the key is that parents need to know that this happens within 2 months. So, you know, we're not sleeping at that point. We're just trying to get the baby to eat and to regulate themselves. You know, I mean, there's so much going on in that first 2 months. That before you know it, the baby's head is flat, and, you know, it's like, wow, what happened? So fortunately, the pediatricians are keeping close eye on the head, and we would like them to act on that right away rather than waiting.
Yeah. And is there a connection between the misshapen head and torticollis, which is the tight neck? Is there a connection between the two?
Yes, there is. Probably 80% of babies with plagiocephaly have torticollis. So that torticollis is simply a muscle imbalance. So one side of the neck is tighter than the other. And so that is what causes the baby to always look in the same direction. So you really need to address that neck tightness so you can get the baby varying their position when they sleep. So that's where we come in. We provide therapy to the baby, show the family gentle stretches that they can do with their babies, and then show them positioning strategies to get them off that flat spot. But yes, torticollis is very closely tied to plagiocephaly.
I'm remembering a baby that a family that I met incredibly briefly at a baby show years and years ago, and I didn't know what to do. But I as I was talking to the parents about other things, I was noticing that baby was only turned his or her head, I can't remember, in one direction. I was actually kind of purposely moving my hands a lot and kind of walking around the family to kind of see if baby would change their head position, and the baby never. I was only talking to them for about 3 or 4 minutes, but now that you're saying this, is there something that I could have done, could have said, could have mentioned?
Oh, you know, that's a slippery slope. I've tried that a few times and have gotten into trouble. So I think it's kind of what position you're in. As a therapist, probably you could have mentioned something. You know, have you noticed that she's always looking to the right? I mean, I'm just noticing that right now. I didn't know if you guys were. You know, you could have said something like that. But it's a tough haul. I will say, you know, whoever's listening, a good thing to do is to look back at your pictures. So let's say your baby's 2 months old, going back on your phone and looking back at all the pictures and just seeing what position the baby's head is in. And 9 times out of 10, my families go back, oh, my gosh, she was the right all the time, you know. So that's a great way if you can't think, I don't know. Look back at your pictures, and that's usually a telltale sign right there.
That's really great advice. And I'm going to include that as well. I'm just trying it. And that was my next question as well. What's your key piece of advice for new parents?
That would be it. And I have one more.
Good.
The other big one is to sleep your baby flat. There is a huge push right now to use containers or like the rock and play sleeper. That's very, very popular right now. Those containers don't allow your baby to move normally, and so they get stuck in one position. And I just posted something on our Facebook page the other day. My last 28 evaluations, 26 of those babies used a rock and play. So it's a huge percentage of my babies that I'm seeing with plagiocephaly have used a specific positioning container, is what we call them. to sleep the baby in. And it really is best to sleep your baby flat. Crib and a pack and play and a co-sleeper, anything that is flat. So that would be my big advice to new parents right now.
It's so hard when you're just trying to deal with getting any sleep and any...
Right.
I think I was talking with another occupational therapist, and I don't know if this product was an April Fool's joke, but it was a kind of a large giraffe with a long neck.
Yes.
Have you seen it? And then the head kind of sits on a crib,
yeah,
or the back of an infant car seat, which just drove me crazy, and rocks, and the neck goes up and
yeah,
down and rocks. So,
yeah, it's kind of spring loaded.
Yeah, is that an actual product?
Yeah, it's new. I was asked to endure, you know, to talk about it. And you know, I think it has uses. It's a brilliant idea. My kind of soapbox is I'm trying to get babies out of containers. So,
yeah,
you know, that would just kind of reinforce the use of put your baby in the swing and this giraffe will keep them there all day, you know?
Yeah.
And
it just got me when I saw the baby in the infant car seat. Car seats are
yeah,
for the car. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. It's a good idea, and it's very cute.
Well, I mean, there's
you know,
times when you're so desperate, and you're
right.
And, yeah, okay. And I've completely
been
there.
You'll do whatever you can.
Absolutely. My son is going to be 15 this August, and in
mm-hmm,
2000 and 2001, I owned every sleep book that was available.
Yeah,
because he was
right,
a horrible sleeper.
Yeah.
And yet I was desperate for sleep, and my husband will remember I was saying, I don't want to be a plastic parent. I don't want to put him in a container. But that desperation
yes,
is very, very difficult. So
it's
hard.
I totally understand. That's why I never judge my family, because I know that sleep is important for everybody, not just the parent. I mean, it's baby needs it. Everybody needs it. So I do understand why people start using those. But I would, you know, try. So I have some families that don't even try the crib first. They just, you know, well, my neighbor said this rock and play worked great, so I'm just going to start off with that. And sure enough, she sleeps great in that, so I'm just going to, you know, use that. So I would just advise parents, try to use the crib, give it a couple weeks, you know, just to see if you can get some success with that, because that's all we've ever slept on. You know, this is a new thing, this whole put the baby in something to sleep. So,
yeah,
you know, I think the marketing to new parents is very, very strong with these products, and they're not always the best thing for the baby.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And actually, we have a Twitter chat every week, and next week we're going to be talking, next Tuesday at 9 p.m., we're going to be talking with a sleep consultant. So I'm going to try to weave
great,
some of this stuff into what we're talking about. So we
yeah,
chatted about products that we don't like and that drive us crazy.
Yeah.
Are there parenting or baby products or resources that you absolutely love that you wish you had invented?
Hands down, it would be the Velcro swaddle. I wish I would have thought of that. So there's two Velcro swaddles that we like a lot, and it's the Swaddle Me or the Halo swaddle. And the reason why we like that is they're very easy to use. It gives a nice deep pressure to the baby, which babies need. A lot of parents think that, oh, that's so uncomfortable, you know, he's not going to like it, or he grunts. But babies really do need that deep pressure to neurologically slow them down and to calm them down. So a lot of my families will use like a container. But then when I get them out of that container and put them in a crib with a nice tight swaddle, the baby does beautifully. So mm-hmm, if I could have invented something, I would have. That Velcro swaddle is priceless. So I highly recommend those to all parents with new babies.
And you know, it's funny because I am an old mom, obviously, because I know about swaddling, but I've never seen these. I'm Googling them now, the Swaddle Me
oh,
and the Halo swaddle. and you don't have to figure out how to put your baby in the tortilla wrap because the Velcro does it for you.
Exactly. And you can make it nice and snug. You know, my daughter's 11 and they weren't around then. And so we used like the receiving blankets, and boy, those are tough to get tight enough, and the baby got out of them all the time. And, you know, it's this, these make life so easy, so easy. They're wonderful.
I'm even seeing the Halo has one just the arms that the baby's feet could be free depending on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love sharing.
They're great.
So
it makes a great shower gift, you know, if you're... If you have any friends that need a good, functional, practical gift, that would be it.
And the way you describe the Velcro swaddle, you could definitely tell you're an occupational therapist because you talk about that deep pressure.
Yeah. We're all about the deep pressure and organizing sensory.
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic. You're speaking my language. I love it. Is there a parenting book that you love?
You know, I think there's so many out there. I'll be honest, I don't read them very much. But I do think that What to Expect When You're Expecting is a good kind of general resource. I think a lot has gone on, you know, they have a new edition, which is a little bit more up to date. So that, you know, if I were going to read any, that would probably be it. I think there's a lot of opinions about sleep training, and so, you know, I wouldn't recommend one over the other. I know that's a popular, like you said, a very popular topic right now, but for a general baby book, I think that's a good one.
It's a good one, definitely, and it's one of those books that we've all, as soon as I found out that I was pregnant for the first time, that was one of the books that I got.
Yeah, it's kind of a good general resource.
One of the other books that when I think about the work that I've done in the past and occupational therapy, there's a book called Fine Motor Skills for Children with Down Syndrome by Marianne Rooney. And it's kind of the scope of practice for occupational therapists is just massively huge.
Yeah.
But I can remember just being at a local bookstore and just kind of browsing because that's what I like to do. And I was browsing not as a therapist or a person who was working or anything. I was just kind of doing it for pleasure. And there was somebody who was in the bookstore, and she was asking one of the bookstore reps about a book on fine motor skills for children with Down syndrome. And I overheard her, and I thought, well, that's a really specific order. But I knew there was a specific book with that title. And the person at the bookstore couldn't help her, but I kind of stepped in and helped her. And it turned out that person was a brand new occupational therapist, and she was looking for resources for the kids. It's like, oh, it's such a small world.
It is. It really is, especially if you reach out and talk to people, you know. It is. And the great thing now is on Pinterest and blog, there's so many activity ideas that people are sharing, and it's just really, really neat that, you know, you can sit in your office and find 10 activities you can do with your baby, you know, at your fingertips.
Yeah.
It's really great. And just like you're sending out ways to sign, different words to sign to your baby. I mean, you've got that on your website. It's so easy access. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Now, tell us about Baby Begin. You have OTs and PTs working with you. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So physical therapists and occupational therapists.
Yeah. A lot of people, we've been around since 2008. Prior to starting Baby Begin, I worked for a leading helmet provider. So I was well-versed on helmeting and how to treat plagiocephaly with a helmet and about pressures and all of that. And it was a great learning experience, is a great product, but I just became kind of disillusioned in that our numbers continued to rise, and I thought, this is weird, like, why aren't people hearing about how to prevent it? And so it was like this big piece of a puzzle that wasn't being addressed. And so after hearing so many moms crying and upset, and I wish someone would have told me, I thought, I know how to prevent this, and I have a passion for it, and I know what to do. So that's when I started Baby Begin. So to date, we've treated almost 2,000 babies, and I have PTs and OTs on staff. I look for more of the ability to treat the torticollis and the plagiocephaly rather than the discipline. So there are some that say, well, one is better than the other, but for me, it's your experience and the results that you're getting. So, and each discipline, you know, like you know, brings a certain perspective that maybe you didn't think of. So we have some really great therapists.
Yeah. Well, and crossing disciplines, because that perspective, you just can learn so much more. It's
right.
Phenomenal. And what are the ages of babies that you're seeing? What's the age range?
Well, our youngest, I have one right now that's 5 days old, and our oldest is probably 18 months. And with that, those older babies, we're working more on motor skills that have been affected by the torticollis. So,
okay.
Torticollis is tightening on one side of the neck, but what happens is that side, the whole side of the body becomes tight, so then they use it less. So their gait is affected, their fine motor skills are affected, their spinal alignment is affected. So for the older babies, we're working primarily just on getting good midline, you know, using their hands equally, walking with mm-hmm. a normal gait, things like that. So, you know, we do a wide range, but around 18 months, 2 years is usually you know, where they kind of phase out.
Yeah, but up to that toddler age is when you're seeing the babies are starting to compensate for mm-hmm. the difficulties they've had, and so they're learning some skills that may not be good in the long run.
Exactly, and compensation is they are so good at it. So I have even four-month-old babies that are compensating dramatically for tightness on one side of their body. I mean, they learn it very quickly, you know, which is great because they're learning to survive based on what they can do and what they can't do. So it's a wonderful trait to have, but we want to get it before it becomes a big issue. So most of our babies are around 2 months old, and we can usually have them pretty well done within 3 or 4 visits. So it's a pretty easy process when we get them young.
Love it. Now you're educating parents. You're educating your local physicians. Do you do training? Are you speaking? Or do you? How do other therapists get knowledgeable about how to treat this?
Well, that is our next phase in our business plan. Is we're going to start doing, you know, CEU courses for other therapists. Because we really, our original plan was, let's just see these babies ourselves and, you know, have therapists everywhere and work with the babies directly. But what we're finding is this is a big country and it's probably going to be more effective to educate and train the therapists who then can see their own caseload. So, that is our next goal, is to get a really good training program and being able to everybody so we can end this. You know, it's preventable, and we can do it. And we just need everybody to be on board. You know, we have a program that has worked, and so we're willing to share that and you know, hopefully make a bigger difference than we're doing right now. Even
I'm sitting here smiling, and I'm thinking of all the occupational therapists that would benefit this. And really and truly, the reason WeHands has spread the way it is I wanted to create a curriculum that could go beyond the families in my community. I said, why isn't everyone doing this?
Uh-huh.
And it's the same idea.
Yes, exactly. We got it. We those of us who have just a very specialized niche, you know, I think it's our duty to kind of share that as much as we can. So I appreciate you having us on, because this will help us kind of get the word out and, you know, help more babies.
Well, I think what you're doing is so important. And talking about getting the word out. So, do you have what's your website? You're on? Are you on Facebook or on Twitter? How can people get in touch with you?
Well, we're everywhere. So, our Facebook is just Baby Begin. You can pretty much find us everywhere through Baby Begin. Our website is babybegin.com. And any referrals, if someone wanted to refer their baby, they can do that directly on the website, and we'll contact them within 24 hours. We do Skype consultations. So I just did a baby in Tennessee. I'm in Dallas right now, but I did a baby in Tennessee, and I was able to show her positioning so we can get that baby rounded out. So we do Skype consultations, but we're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and it's all under Baby Begin.
That is fantastic, and I will search out those links and share those with everybody. But I think what you're doing is so important, and more and more people have to start talking about it. More and more professionals have to start talking about it. And
yeah.
And now we know where we can direct.
Yes.
Maybe one, maybe not the next mom and baby I meet in the grocery store, because that's a little creepy. But give me a little bit more information.
Yeah.
I forget sometimes that I spend most of my time work-wise on the floor with babies and toddlers singing and being goofy. And then when I see these babies in the grocery store and I'm starting to be goofy with them, I have to reel myself back and go, okay, no, parents are going to think I'm very strange.
That is so funny. I have the same thing. I start talking in my silly baby voice. And like you said, it could be a little creepy.
Oh, we'll have to get together so we can do it.
I think it'd be dangerous, right?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me and hanging out with me for this little bit of time. And we're definitely help spread the news about what you're doing. It's incredibly important. Thank you, Jennifer. We are just about done, but today I had the pleasure of talking with Jennifer Bernard. Jennifer is a pediatric occupational therapist and founder of Baby Begin. Jennifer is dedicated to educating parents and physicians in the world, apparently, on how to minimize the risk of plagiocephaly. I said it. Skull deformities have numerous medical and social implications. She'd like to see every baby have the opportunity to begin life with a beautiful round head. I spoke with Jennifer from her clinic in Plano, Texas. Remember, you can follow me, WeHands, on Twitter. Visit our website, WeHands.com, www.WeHands.com. And if you have any questions about what we talked about today, about baby sign language, or about child development in general, please email us at questions@WeHands.com. And we will get back to you as soon as possible. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Since 2001, WeHands has been a leading children's sign language and language development program delivered through fun, interactive classes, and as well as a small line of tailored products. In 2014, WeHands became a part of Mona Chappelle's Children's Support Solutions, an organization that helps provide health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential. We are just about out of time for this week, this time, but I want to thank you for joining me. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Sign Book.